Well, thank you, church. Lovely to come out west again. I noticed when I was driving down the road, there's a sign on the side of the road. They say, when you get into Green Bay, this is where the west starts. So there's something special about you here. I'm in the west, and I have a number of leaders around the west and the east side. I live in the east, and we have this bit of banter about where the better place in Auckland to live. And I always say the east, they say the west. And I keep reminding them that the glory is going to come through the east gate, but they still think it's coming through the west gate. Well, let's pray for that and believe for that. Amen. So this morning, I want to just share with you a little bit around, as I travel New Zealand, those of you who don't know us, we connected with Life Churches, with Andrew and his team. We travel itinerant around New Zealand, Australia, a bit of Africa, and Asia. So the Lord keeps us busy, although our travel has been limited over the last 2 years due to COVID. But nevertheless, God is still building his church. Amen? He's doing something in us at this time. And I want to just initially focus on what I see God doing with us right now and what the Lord expects of us as believers in our current spiritual atmosphere. And I believe the church's role is to understand the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual season that God has got us in. God does something different every season that we are in. Seasons in our lives, season in the economy of the nation, and in the church, God is building his church. Amen. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. And, you know, that is a promise for us. But it does mean we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to rise up and to do our part. And I do, you know, want to emphasize this morning that each one of you here this morning have a part to play in the building of the church, in the building of the kingdom of God that has been outworked in New Zealand at this moment in time. Amen. So we can't exclude ourselves. I want to give you some good news. When you were born again, you were conscripted into the army of God. That means there's some warfare around your life. And sometimes we don't like to hear that part of it, but God has given us weapons. He's given us abilities that help us to interact with him in making the kingdom of God real in our lives. Amen. So the principle of how the spiritual realm works, God is giving us an invitation this morning to partner with him in the kingdom. So you are a partner empowered by the Holy Spirit to do work in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God reigns in perfect love and in perfect justice. That's the kingdom today. We think of the church, you can think of the church as an embassy, that represents the King of Kings. So the Bible uses the term that you are an ambassador for Christ. That means there are times when God will use you to represent him in a very unique and personable way. So I want to say to you, let's be ready for this, you know, because the church today is, you know, if you look at the media and you look at our politicians, they will very rarely acknowledge the church or Jesus Christ. But, you know, we should not be put off by that. It should cause us to, you know, sing the praises of the Lord even louder and make his name known throughout the land. Amen. So God's kingdom has come, and the king, wherever the kingdom is, the king is being made known by you and I. The politicians will not tell you about the good news, but you and I are the custodians of the good news of Jesus. So I want to say to you this morning, every opportunity you get to share about Jesus, take that opportunity. Amen. Let the kingdom of God be made known. You know, Jesus in his parables, just to summarize, he speaks about the kingdom looks small and unimpressive in many ways. But he said, towards the end of the age, the church will rise up and it'll become known. We are in the end of the age. And God is saying, my glorious church is starting to emerge. So expect some glorious things to happen in you and through your life. so that God will be glorified. Amen. So I'm challenging you today that God is calling you higher. He's calling you deeper in your relationship with Him. Doesn't matter where we are situated in the church, in the city. The church is God's, you know, spiritual home where people come and they are impacted by the love of God. So find someone that you can, you know, share the love of God with so that God can, you know, be raised up in the midst of you. So one of the things that I want to say to you, if you are only seeing coronavirus at this time, you're not seeing all that is taking place right now in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's very important that we see that. You see, because when we do spiritual warfare, we fix our eyes on the spiritual and the invisible realm in our prayer life, and we do warfare according to the will of God. Why? So we can bring the will of God from heaven to earth. That's our, when Jesus told the disciples, this is how you pray. You know, our Father who art in heaven, we acknowledge where He is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are those, you know, heavenly beings that God has raised up. Unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom. God has given us spiritual eyes, a spiritual calling to be ambassadors for the King. And He wants you and I to be active in this. You know, we can't be, we can't sit on the bench and watch the game taking place. We've got to be participants in this role that God has called the church to become. Amen. We are becoming greater than what we see today. Isn't that good news? That's why to hear about the expansion to your building, let me say to you, that's the will of God for you, to expand the kingdom, to make known the love of God. As you bring people into the church, as you minister to people, God uses, you know, your gifts, your you know, ability to show the love of God. That's why the first commandment is the most important commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all that you will be, all that you can be, so that we can demonstrate Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are going that way. So, you know, really the present, you know, divine picture that we see today, the forerunning of what's coming, you know, we see world government, we see manipulation, we see political dominance, world powers rising up, evil, you know, principalities trying to shift things over nations. But the Bible's clear that everything physical and visible is preceded by that which is invisible and spiritual. So you and I are called as spiritual men and women to address the heavenly realm and call God's will down, not only for the church, but for your life, for your family, for those that are unsaved. God's called you to make a difference to their lives. And what happens is we get the Word of God in us and it flows out of us and we bring revelation of who Jesus is. Who do they say that you are? When Jesus asked the disciples, Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. We've all had that revelation. That's why we're here this morning, to give glory to God, because He's revealed Himself to us. It wasn't your idea, in case you thought it was your idea. It was God's idea that He first called you. Amen. We'd love to think it's our idea, but it's not. God said, I first called you. Isn't that amazing? So there's something about your life that is unique, that is powerful, that God wants to use to extend the kingdom of God. That's so we know who we are. So when you greet one another in the church, you know, Paul says you greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm not suggesting we go and kiss everybody, but what he's saying is there's something very special about the intimacy. When we embrace one another, we are embracing the family of God. People called by God to do a special work. Wow. Thank you, Lord. That's why I can come back to the church every Sunday, no matter where it is in the country. I say, Lord, thank you. Next weekend, I'm in Wellington. Weekend after that, somewhere south, you know, and I say, I look at the body of Christ and I say, Lord, what an amazing group of people that you have called and you've put your spirit inside of them. Amen. That's who you are. So we want to bring some correction We want to put it another way. If you're only seeing what you see, you're not seeing all that needs to be seen. So God wants to develop our spiritual discernment so that when we come together, we discern the strongholds over, you know, West Auckland, over Green Bay. What is the stronghold that is preventing people from coming to church? What is the stronghold in your family that's preventing the rest of them knowing Jesus? Remember, you are that custodian in that home and in that family group to bring the good news. They might not always receive it from you, but you are God's ambassador to them. So God wants to help us understand what motivates people to do things that they do. Is it an evil spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing to help us understand these things? Because when Paul uses the word for warfare, the word warfare in Ephesians 6 is a word called stratos. It means strategy. The enemy has a strategy to silence the church, to silence you in your role in the church and in your community, in your workplace, wherever you go. He doesn't want you bringing the good news of salvation, of redemption, of hope. No, no, he closes you down. But what happens is God wants us to understand the strategy of the Holy Spirit for your life. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you for the rest of this year? How does he want you to be involved in ministry, to people, to your community, to do the things that are going to build the kingdom of God? What is God challenging you with today? Let me say to you, pick up the challenge. God, send me. I'm willing to go. Not send my sister. No, no, Lord wants to send you. Amen. We quickly notice when God's doing some work, we want to send somebody. But God wants to send us. Amen. We are the ones that God is working in our lives with. Amen. So the sense of discernment helps us to understand the nature of God. You know, God is a loving God, for God is good and his mercy endures forever. You know, if we live in that place of knowing how good God is, we see people that they don't know the revelation of how good God is, but we can bring that revelation to them. Amen. Let's be open to that. So we proclaim the Lord's nature, the Lord's acts, his glory. We speak about the goodness of God. So we don't have to explain who God is. As we worship the Lord and we lift up the Lord, his name is glorified in the midst of us. As we lift him up, the word says he will draw all men to himself. So you have arrived here this morning not knowing the Lord fully. There's a drawing of the Holy Spirit to you to say, come and encounter me. Come and meet the Lord. You know, you might have met the Lord, many years ago, but there's an onward, present, future calling God, that God is doing something in you and me, and he never stops working. Amen. You know that beautiful song that's out on the circuit now, where we sing about God is, you know, working in our lives. God is another one by the Bethel group. God is pursuing us. They sing about the pursuit of God. God is running after us. And I listened to that the other day and I thought, that's so true about God. He pursues us more than what we realize. We think we're pursuing God, but God's really pursuing us. Ever since there was a denial in the garden, when God said to Adam, where are you, Adam? God has been pursuing mankind. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. I have this thing with God. I say, Lord, I'm pursuing you. The Lord says, no, 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 I'm pursuing you. I say, no, but Lord, I know that I'm pursuing you. He says, no, I want you to just live in my peace. I'm doing the pursuing. And, you know, just find that place in God where you know that he's pursuing you. He pursues you through his word, through worship, through relationship, through fellowship in the church. That's why we keep coming back and saying, God, this is a beautiful thing that you're doing. Amen. So God is good and his mercies endure forever. And I love that about God. You see, when Paul prays for the church in Ephesians and he prays for it in Galatians and the different letters of the epistles to the church, they were letters of encouragement to the church. And, you know, what he says in Ephesians 1, he says, and, you know, I pray for you that the exceeding greatness of the power of God will be towards us for those who believe in the Lord. You know, and I want to say to you this morning that often God reveals himself in a corporate sense about his exceeding excellence of his great power towards those who believe. So for you and I to understand that there's the spiritual power of God at work in our lives, and how do we interact with that in a greater way? It's through prayer. It's through worship. It's through fellowship. It's through relationship. Amen. So I love my relationship with God. It gives me that time to connect with God, and then God will speak to me about people. Now, Len, I want you to pray for this person. Len, I want you to minister to that person. So I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in the prayers that I pray. So I pray the scriptural prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, in Philippians 1, you know, 9 and 10, all beautiful prayers that God wants you and I to pray his word back, because it promises us that the word will never return void, but it shall accomplish the very thing that God set it out to do through you. Amen. You and I. So the battle that we are in, the word talks about the weapons that you have are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. So there'll be a stronghold that you identify. Address that stronghold through the word of God. So you know that, you know, God is working through your prayer life. I believe the greatest gift of ministry that God gave the church is prayer. But if you look at the church today, and it's just the nature of how we are, we get very busy. Probably 10% pray for 90% of the church. So I believe God wants to turn that around, that 90% pray for the 10%. Amen. Then we'll see some things happen. We want to see revival come. We are going to pray some more, aren't we? We're going to get on our knees and we're going to seek the face of the Lord, because God wants to bring revival. But he won't bring it until we collectively stand in unity and pray together. So let me challenge your prayer life this morning. Pray more often, okay? Get into that holy huddle. Seek the face of the Lord. Because your weapons, Paul says, are offensive and defensive. Your offensive weapons means your active, aggressive, attacking weapons are prayer, praise and worship, the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Those are your offensive, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, praying in your spiritual language. When the church comes, you are shifting darkness in your area because you are applying an offensive weapon that God has given you. That's why the call for the church to be in unity is a powerful thing today. Let's get into unity with God and with one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And then there's your defensive weapons is the armor of God. So when I go to bed at night, I don't take off the armor, but in the morning I put on the armor just to make sure I'm ready for the day. The helmet, the breastplate, the sword, the belt, the shod my feet in the preparation of the gospel. And I pray in the spirit man. So you and I are ready for warfare. If you think you can live a spiritual life with God and Christ without warfare, let me say to you, you'll find when you wake up in the morning that things aren't quite so good. You've got to be ready for this warfare. Amen. That's where the church is today. We are in a war like no other war in our past history. Because if you look at the world's in a mess. The pagan beliefs of man are taking over society. But we are the light that shines to the community here in Green Bay. So let your light shine. But I want to really just cover something this morning that I believe is important for you and I to understand about God giving us, a battle plan for your life, a battle plan for the church. Whatever whenever God is building something, the enemy will stand against it. As soon as you decide that you're going to fast and pray and go deeper with God, the old enemy will come against that desire and that, you know, willingness to go and pursue God. He will come against that. But you've got to know that your weapons are mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold. So find the area that you want to move into. Do the warfare and God will move you on very quickly. Amen. But you need to understand something. You have potential. The enemy is after the potential that God has put in your life. That source of potential comes through the Holy Spirit. And each one of us have potential in this church this morning. Every one of you. That's why the Holy Spirit comes along as our comforter, our helper, our intercessor, our counselor, our advocate. He walks with us so that He helps us understand the potential that God has put in your life so that you can operate in the purpose to which God has called you. One of the greatest things we need to know is the purpose to which God has called our lives into. When you find purpose, you find opportunity to take on responsibility to do the work of God. What is your potential that helps you move into a space in God that you know this is God? This is God working in your life. So that's where you need to get into prayer with God, speak to your leaders, learn to become good stewards of the manifold grace of God in your life. So what I'm saying to you is when you are saved by grace. There's a level of grace that God puts upon your life. Be a good steward of that grace. If it's music, let it be music. If it's children's ministry, let it be children's ministry. If it's outreach to the lost, let it be that. It's a grace that is upon us. That's why the body of Christ is so unique. Each one of you have a different fingerprint in God. Your fingerprints are different, but the nature of God working in you is a very powerful thing. That's why the word says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? To be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost part of the world, which is New Zealand. Amen. I know when they sent me, they prophesied when I was back in Africa, they said to me, "Brother, the Lord's going to send you to the uttermost part of the world." I thought, "You're crazy, man." He said, "No, the Lord's going to send you to a nation on the furthest point east of Jerusalem." And you know, I found out that was New Zealand. So I knew when they prophesied, I was going east. And I'm still in the east. But God's got a purpose. And He wants to help you get into the purpose of God. No matter where you are in your work situation, in your family situation, surrender it to God and ask God for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God to fulfill the purpose to which He has raised you. So purpose and potential work together. See, the potential that you have is a hidden ability that needs to be cultivated. And that's why the church is an encouraging environment, because we help you cultivate that very seed of potential that is in your life. You say, "Wow, I don't think I can do that. That's too hard for me." But you know, the Spirit comes and He works in us and He helps us to become who we are. That's why when Jesus said, "I will build my church," the word "build" there is a word called okodomo. It means to build up. When Paul prophesied, he said, "He who prophesies to the church speaks edification," okodomo, same word, to build up. So what it means is you and I have a responsibility to build up the saints. We don't build big buildings, we build big people. And when we build big people, the building is a natural result of big people. We have different thinking. We think like the kingdom. We think differently to how the world thinks. We step out in faith and we do unusual things because God blesses faith. Amen. Have you noticed that? You step out into the unknown and you get out the boat and you start walking on the water. That's God. God wants us to think outside the box, not to put Him in a box. No, no, no. Let's get out the box and work in a wonderful way with the Lord. I want to read this for you about your hidden treasure that is in your life this morning. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy of it goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. You see, God will provide a field for you. The treasure that's buried in your lives needs to be joyfully recovered. The Holy Spirit will show you the treasure that is in your earthen vessel. He'll show you that gift that you have. It might be an artistic gift. It could be a leadership gift, a management gift. He reveals those things to us. Why? Because he wants you to be actively working with him in the kingdom of God. What a lovely invitation. I love that invitation from the Lord. So we dig around in the spiritual realm and we find this treasure that is hidden in earthen vessels. We say, thank you, Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? What do we say? We agree with God. God, thank you for that gift. Now I can't do this on my own, but Lord, you're going to lead me in the work that you have called me to do. Now I'm going to rise up. I'm not going to let doubt and unbelief rob me. I'm going to be ready to move with the power of God, the treasure that is the excellence of the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 speaks about that. There's the excellence of God's power in your life. And today, I've come here to stir you up because I do believe that this church will be twice the size to where it is today. God wants to enlarge the place of your dwelling. You see, God's always on the move. We want to stop and camp around and, you know, lie on the hammock, but God keeps moving us. Amen. I know this is God. You know, whenever I want to put my feet up, God gives me another job to do, so I keep on moving. But God wants you and I to know that we are special people in Him this morning. I really want you to get this in your heart. To know the purpose to which God has created you. Life has purpose. Your process of potential is to fulfill that purpose. The dream that you have in your heart. The potential is equal to the assignment that God has given you. Purpose gives birth to responsibility. Yes, Pastor, give me the youth. I'll do the youth. You take responsibility on. Responsibility makes a demand on the potential that's in your life. You see, human potential needs a positive environment, and the church is that place to grow us into something greater. I noticed when I was a young Christian, every time I was promoted in the church, I was promoted in my job. And before the Lord called me from Africa to New Zealand, I'd become a director in the company. And when I said to them, look, I really believe God is calling me to another nation, they said to me, you're crazy. Why are you going? Look at what the Lord has done for you. And I said, I acknowledge that, but I can also acknowledge that God's calling me to something different. And, you know, we've got to know the seasons and the times in God that are important. That, you know, God in that environment, He brings fellowship in, He brings relationship, He brings challenges. You know why challenges come? To maximize our potential. You see, God, sometimes challenges are like that gymnasium that God brings to build us up. So we become stronger every time we end up in a challenge. We should do, amen. We shouldn't let the enemy keep us down. No, we rise up. Now to whom? To Him, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, Jesus, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you think or ask, according to the power of God that's at work in you. You see, the power of God is at work in you to release the fullness of God in your life. If you can grasp that, or even a portion of that, you will do unusual things in God's kingdom. Amen. So let's be the people who God called us to be. You see, and I want to finish off with this and say to you this morning, Ephesians 2:10, it explains in this scripture what I've been unfolding to you this morning. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Now, God's already prepared things in your life for where you sit today. Grab hold of them. He leads us in paths that are prepared ahead of time for your life. So you have to guard that potential that you have in your life. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Stay accountable for your life. Stay, you know, with people that see who you are, that inspire you to rise up in God. God wants to unfold the ability. That's why the church is such a powerful body of people. The enemy does not want the church to emerge and become the transformed people in God. He's petrified that you and I will find our destiny in God. Amen. Because when we do, we are powerful people in God. And I want to speak that over you this morning, that you know there's some incredible things for you in God. So I'm going to finish with just this little story. Yeah, you know, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, Gideon was working in the wine press. He was making bread instead of wine. Why? Because the Midianites were stealing all their crops and he couldn't get out there to do what he would normally do. But when the angel, and he was unhappy about that, he complained to the Lord. He said, Lord, where are all the miracles that you've done for us previously? There's no miracles around anymore. And he said, I'm the least in my father's house, so I'm not worthy really to do this work, Lord. So he had this sense of inferiority, as we all do at times. He couldn't put it together that maybe God had something better for them as a people of God. So he complains to God. You know, I've learned that if I complain to God, he just gives me another job to do. So I don't complain anymore. I've got a lot to do. And the angel of the Lord arrives and he says, you are a mighty man. The Lord is with you, you mighty man. What does the angel do? He ignores all the things that this man has been complaining about and he reminds him who he is. You are a mighty man. Gideon thinks, who's this angel talking to? Well, he's the only one there, so it must be him. So he rises up, and Scripture says he became a mighty warrior for God. He pulls down the stronghold in his town. He blows a trumpet. He calls the nation to war. He does what he's called to do. You see, the angel spoke to his potential, not to who he was not, but to who he was to become. That's what God does with us. He speaks to our lives. We become those people or that person that God has called us. You see, I'm talking about a spiritual principle here. When you and I speak to life, life will rise up. If I speak to the flesh will want to rise up and punch me on the nose because I'm speaking to the wrong thing. I've got to speak to nobility. If I speak to nobility in you, it's going to rise. If I speak to honor in your life, honor will rise up. If I speak to the call of God in your life, it's going to emerge and you're going to come forth. Say, that's me. That's where I'm going. Because if I've noticed in the prophetic, when people come to see us, if we speak to the potential in their lives, they say, yes, that's who I want to be. I don't want to be this person struggling to break free from these bondages that are in my life. No, I want to be that person living in victory and freedom in Christ Jesus. And that's what God's doing to the church. He's bringing us from captivity into the knowledge of Jesus so that we can live with freedom and victory in our hearts. Not to say you won't be attacked, but to know that you're still living in victory in your life today. Amen. Come on, let's be a victorious people. And we are mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds of the enemy because God is with us. Amen.